Our second lesson is taken from the Epistle to the Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Listen for God's word as it speaks to you and to me. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith, without having received the promises. But from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. God, we thank you for your word. Will you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we give thanks for your word, from which all that we know, all that we have, all that we are, has come forth. By your Spirit, may your word bear fruit in your name. May we be co-laborers in making it come to pass. All these things we pray in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. So Pastor Rebecca had called this sermon titled The Long Game, and how appropriate for the way I was thinking about the passages that she had lifted up to refer to. Because there are those moments in our life when the long game pulls us out of the day-to-day. It can be markers like anniversaries, and this is the probably the Sunday closest to my 25th anniversary of ordained ministry, so I'm thinking in terms of long game. But sometimes it can be a phone call that you get in the middle of the night that puts things into perspective and gives you a point of focus about what's real and what's important. Amen? So whether that's the phone call that came in the middle of the night that affects our lives as First Press Germantown as we lift Pastor Rebecca and her family and doctors in prayer, or whether it's the phone call that each of us get at the middle of the night at some point in our lives. I don't have to list them out. You know what they are. There are those times in our life when we recognize that we have to pull off from the day to day and just wondering what to watch on TV the next day or what to get from the store next week and look at what's real. What's important? Why are we on the particular paths that we're on? What's it all about? Well, I think that the context of the scripture, both of this morning and what we've been journeying on as a congregation for the last several months, helps us to recognize the importance of the long game, and even more so, the role of this table in the midst of that long game, because it's related. Our first scripture reading this morning was taken from Genesis, which starts the story of God's relationship with humankind. And we know that it may have started out in the Garden of Eden, but very quickly went awry. And even brother against brother with Cain and Abel. Things from that point on seem to have been, as I call, emotional bumper cars, where you remember in the amusement parks when you'd be in those bumper cars, you'd be riding along and some other car would boom and send you careening another direction. Well, that's how the nature of sin seems to be in our lives, where we have come into this world, just minding our own business, and boom, because of the way of sinfulness, we find ourselves mixed in the muck of mire of either hearing others' words that would seek to tell us that we're not children of God, or participating in ways that would seek to take the children of God status away from others. And if you need anything further than the headlines of the past week, whether it's the scandals of Epstein or the shootings in El Paso, they all can find their roots in people denying the love of God being primary in their lives and in their neighbor's lives, no matter who their neighbor might be. So, two times back when Christian was in that chair and I was in this place, or actually I was in that chair and Christian was in this place, he shared a story about Jesus at the end of his ministry recognizing that it was time to set his face to Jerusalem. 30 years of preparation for 3 years of ministry, and now toward the end of those 3 years of ministry, it was time for the long view and the long game to come down to very short focus in his time at the cross. And the scripture lesson that Christian taught from on that day said that he and his disciples went through a Samaritan village that did not receive him. And the same disciples, those that should know the best about what his ministry of love and grace should be about, turned to Jesus and said, "Do you want us to rain down fire from heaven on them?" Remember that? I could imagine Jesus shaking his head saying, "All this time and they still don't get it. It's supposed to be about the love." Fast forward the next week, and they come across a lawyer who says, "Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Remember that? And he, in response, told the story of the Good Samaritan. Because the lawyer had asked the question, if in order to inherit eternal life, I'm to love my God, love my neighbor, and love myself, who's my neighbor? Jesus tells that story about the Good Samaritan, man beset by robbers, and the holy ones that you would think would help the man alongside the road aren't the ones who do it. Instead, it's the Samaritan. And you connect the dots with the week before, and you recognize that Jesus wasn't just saying that for the benefit of that lawyer. He was talking to his disciples, who were still feeling some kind of way about the Samaritans who had dissed them in that village just prior. And so the message that Jesus was trying to get across is that we are called to love those that we find it hardest to love. Those that might make us feel some kind of way. All right? When that's hard to do, God calls us to dig down deep and not to get distracted, which brings us to Pastor Rebecca's sermon from last week, when she talked about the man who had built up the barns to put all his stuff in. Remember when she was talking about that? So often we like to think that our salvation depends on what we can earn, what we can do to protect ourselves from others, what we can do to lift ourselves above others. And Jesus says, those are all distractions. That's not your focus. Your focus needs to be back on that love thing. That love thing. And then there was one other passage that Pastor Rebecca referred to. She was talking about Mary and Martha. Remember that? She was saying that Mary and Martha, they were two friends of Jesus. They had a brother named Lazarus. So Martha was the one who was back in the kitchen all the time. Mary was the one who was sitting at Jesus' feet. And we don't know what they were talking about. But when Martha said, Jesus, tell my sister to come and help me. It's not fair that she's not helping me. Jesus says, Mary has chosen the better part. Fast forward in this long game. Lazarus, the brother, dies. And Jesus comes after Lazarus had been dead for 3 days and calls him out of the grave. Then the scriptures say, when Jesus, the risen Lazarus, Mary and Martha are at dinner together, 1 week before Jesus himself would be crucified, Mary gets up, takes the most expensive thing they have in the house, this bottle of expensive perfume, and she breaks it and washes Jesus' feet with it. Not focusing on the expensive stuff, but recognizing that love is the important thing. And once again, one of Jesus' disciples doesn't get it. Judas says, Teacher, rebuke her. That ointment could have been used and sold to help the poor. And Jesus says, leave her alone. She's showing her love and preparing me for the time when I won't be with you. And then, 1 week later, Jesus thinks about all that he knows, all that he's experienced, and says, what can I do when I'm not here anymore to draw people's focus away from the distractions, away from the finger pointing, away from thinking that they're not loved by God, or that someone else shouldn't be loved by God, or that God should be raining fire down on this one, or that the way that we're using our money, all those distractions, what can I do to focus them when I'm not here? And what does he do? He looks at the table, recognizing there will always be a time we're going to gather to eat. And he takes that bread and says, each time you eat this bread, don't just think about the way that it feeds your body. It also represents God's love incarnate, Jesus Christ. It represents the sacrifice that was made for you. It represents God's promise to always be with you. It represents the goal to which we're heading in the messianic banquet when there will be no more crying. That's what the body, that's what this bread represents. Focus on this. And then he took the cup. He said, this cup isn't just a cup of wine for us to share at times of celebration. It also represents the life force, the blood that I willingly shed out for you so that you don't have to continue to do violence against each other. Enough. The table has as much meaning as we allow God's Spirit to bless us to have it make. By faith, that little piece of bread, that little cup, us gathering around it can represent all that is needed for God's love to take center place in our lives, for us to let go of grudges, to shift our focus from what others may do harmful around us or to us, and in its place be strengthened to walk the journey that we know God is calling us to, in loving ourselves, loving each other, loving even those it is hardest to love, not because they deserve it, but because we know we don't either. And yet, God sacrificed God's self for us and for them. That's the long game. And that's the focus of this meal. Thanks be to God. Amen.